operates ever since Adam and Eve fell, failed God, that the devil has had his free reign. And he likes that. He likes to see trouble and tribulation. But when Jesus talks about that, and he says that you will encounter that kind of situations in your life, that things will not always go smoothly. But he says, and this is something that's said throughout the scriptures, he says, but don't be afraid. Do not fear, he says, because I overcame the world. What we see is only in a temporary kind of thing. I mean, God has a plan that goes far beyond the problems and difficulties of our world. We can't sit back and just pray that God will make everything better, you know, and I'll just hide in my little closet, and when things are all bright and shiny, then I'll come out. No, God is calling each of us to be one who brings a message of God's love to the world. We can't stand afar and think that we can touch the world. We have to get into the world. We have to be willing to meet people, in a sense, face to face, and reveal to them the goodness of God by who we are. So as we live out our day-to-day life, as has been mentioned, we need to turn to God and understand that He is the one who is our source of hope, because He has revealed to us what life is about. And yes, there is suffering and heartache and those kinds of things. But he says it goes beyond that to the very goodness of God. And so he comes, and as he tells us, I've come to bring this good news about the love of God for us, and that God has a place for us in heaven. We are the ones who are called to bring that message to people. That it doesn't matter what the world does and what it creates, because God has already defeated Satan. He may not realize that, he may not care, but the fact is that God already is unfolding his plan. And he wants us to be the people who bring that message. And this, you know, this is not necessarily that, you know, you go on EWTN or something and broadcast it to the world. Not most of us can do that. But it is in our world where we are, how we live out our day-to-day life. And a lot of times when we move through our world, going to the store, going to work, walking around your neighborhood, whatever it may be, we're going to encounter people that are not happy people. We are going to encounter people that need help, that may in some way or another be crying out. It may be because of what's happening in their own life or what they see happening in the world. They may be depressed. They may be sad. They may be angry. And they need to see someone who comes with confidence. And they are confident because they know the power of the love of God. And when we begin to carry that out in our everyday life, we will begin to touch more and more and more people. And that is what's going to change the world. You know, when we look at the beginning of Christianity, it started out with Jesus. Then it started out after that with 12 apostles. these guys were not theologians. They were not people who was skilled in the study of how to arbitrate and talk and all. They were mostly fishermen or people that just did a daily job of one kind or another. And God began to use them to change the world. When they spoke, people's hearts were touched. You know, we read about what Jesus did, and, you know, we don't have a final count at the time of his resurrection. How many people were operating as disciples? We know that Jesus healed far more people than are just in the Gospels. We know that people were following him in various ways, not just 12 apostles and not just 72 disciples. But there were others who were out there and heard what he had to say. When he fed the people with the bread and fish, he was talking to 5,000 men. And it tells us this did not include the women and children. And when he did it with the 4,000, the same thing. He said this was 4,000 men, not counting the women and the children that were there. And he went around, and many times, going up on the hillside, or he spoke to many, many, many people. Got in boat, rowed out to the farther away from the shore so he could reach the people who had gathered around so that they could hear the word. So it doesn't mean I have to go out with a megaphone and say, people, listen to me. It means I have to be an example for people that see the genuineness of what we are doing. Not being fake. Not putting on some kind of a false smile and saying, well, be good and patting them on the head. Be warm and comfortable. No. We have to go out and proclaim the message. We have to do it by our actions. That we take an interest in people. This is what the apostles, this is what Jesus did. He took an interest in people. He looked around as he walked to see who was around him. Who was here? So that he could touch them. So he could bring them the good news. He didn't put a thing like this on and say, all I have to do is follow this path. He was out there looking. And people were touched. Men and women. And children, for that matter. And he did this because his heart was open to their hunger, to their need. And we have to do the same thing. Sometimes we may meet opposition. We may meet people that don't particularly care for us. You know, I think the Sunday gospel was great. Now this guy comes and said, what do I have to do to be saved? And he says, what does the law say? He says, love God with everything I am, love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus said, you got it. But the guy wasn't happy because he didn't want that answer. So he looked at him and says, so, who's my neighbor? And Jesus doesn't tell the story of the person who fell among thieves and looked at the guy and said, now, who do you think your neighbor was from that story? No, Jesus turns it around. And he looks at the guy and said, now tell me, who was neighbor to the man who fell among the thieves? And that's what we have to become. We don't have to look around and say, who's a good person to talk to in my neighborhood? The thing is, I have to become the neighbor to those people around me. I have to become the neighbor in the place where I work. I have to become the neighbor in the store that I visit day in and day out. I'm the one who has to look around and say, that person's hurting. Or that person needs some help. Or that person may need an encouraging word. Or maybe I just look at them and smile. Or say, hey, have a nice day or something. But the problem is that in our world, people do this. They don't want to see anybody. They want to go in and get their stuff and leave. Do their job and leave. Cut their grass, trim their bushes, and leave. I don't want to deal with other people. You know, if somebody comes up to me and wants something, whatever. But I am not going to reach out. That's not what it's about. It's about becoming conscious of the people around me and bringing them a sense of hope by our willingness to trust them, by opening ourselves up and doing whatever. I don't care what it is. You know, somebody's struggling because they can't reach the top shelf. And you go over and say, can I help you? Maybe they say yes, maybe they say no. Maybe it's one of those things that somebody comes up and says, can I have a few bucks? And we ignore them. Or do we stop and say, well, I don't know that I can give you any money. But, you know what? What's your name? And I will put you on my list and I will pray for you every day. We need people to come along and say that the only thing that turns this world is not money. It's love and care. It's the way that we reach out, and we have to overcome the anxiety or the fear, because Jesus comes along and tells us, I've knocked fear out to those who truly love me, to those who really want to serve me, to come to know what it is, not merely to be loved, but to know how to love those around us. We don't have to like them. We don't have to care about or care about how they do things. We may be opposed to it. But it is not going up and spitting in their face and saying, you're going to hell. That's not the point. The point is that we are supposed to open ourselves up and allow the love of God to shine forth. This is kind of an aside, and I'll sit down. But the other day, I don't know why, but I was thinking about people that die and go to heaven. I said, you know, almost all the time that we think about this, we say, well, you know, I'll see Jesus and Mary and some of the saints that I pray to a lot. And I'll see my family members there, you know, and there'll be joy in the world. And I said, nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. But we never, ever think about the Father. My idea of the Father seems to be a big potentate sitting on this big throne with all the angels around him, you know, and he's way far away from me. And I'm way back here, maybe on my knees or maybe on my hands and knees. I don't know. But even afraid to look at him because this is the all-powerful God. And suddenly, I don't know whether it was God or what, or the Father, he said, that's not me. He says, to remember the story of the prodigal son, when he returned, what happened? The father ran out and hugged him. And he says, that's what I do. I wait patiently at the gate of heaven. And when anyone comes through, I am so happy. I am so filled with joy to see them that I run up and I hug them in a bear hug. So happy that you are here. That you are with me. I created you to be here with me. And I love you, don't know how much I love you. And I am so glad that you are here with me. That is what I wanted for all eternity, to be with you here in heaven. He's our Father. He's not some potentate sitting up there with incense and everybody bowing to him. He comes running to us because he created us for himself. And he loves us and he wants us to be there. And we are people who are called to go out and tell people the same thing. That we're supposed to be the people that share this love that God has for us that goes beyond our comprehension because we are sinners and God says, I don't care. I really, really, really want you with me. Because we don't have that here on this earth. And the only time that God can caress us and hug us to smothering us is when we walk through those pearly gates. And God cannot contain himself. Like that father who came out and did everything he could and said, it is time to party! And he is saying the same thing to us. Everyone that enters that heavenly kingdom is party time. Because God is so, he is so really happy to see us. And that's the thing. And in this world of darkness, he wants us to bring that light. He wants people to know. He wants us to be the source of hope that people will come and say, there's a good reason to live my life differently. And it's not because of Satan that I live my life, but because of God, my Father. We will be in that heavenly place with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we now, living in this world, yes, we have Jesus with us. We have the power of the Holy Spirit with us. But we also have God the Father looking down upon us and doing all that he can for those who love him. You know, we say the Lord's Prayer at every Mass, but we have to understand that it doesn't end there. It is because of the Father that we have life. And that is a tremendous gift. And when we are in heaven, there will never be enough time to show our Father our gratitude.